Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Wednesday. We are packed live in Miami Beach. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me on a Wednesday as we ramp up for the Super Bowl broadcast on Fox on Sunday. And Joy, how are you?
I'm great. It's another beautiful, sunny Miami day.
Beautiful. Unbelievable. In a couple of minutes, I'm going to give you exclusive tape. Belichick and Tom Brady having it out over his contract. But we start. Look at those beautiful pictures. Beautiful pictures. If you're listening to us on radio, go to FS1. What a week. Look at those views. So there should be a new rule for all of us in the media. I can't control fans, but there's a new rule in the media. When it comes to the draft, NFL draft, NBA draft, we don't know. We have a lot of information. We think we know, but you never truly know. So Kyle Shanahan is the best young offensive football mind in the National Football League. Everybody thought it was Sean McVay. We told you, no, it's Kyle Shanahan. Dad's a Hall of Fame coach. Kyle's going to be a Hall of Fame coach. And he was talking this week about, you know, he watched Patrick Mahomes. He saw all the tape, and they decided, hey, just not that great.
I didn't look into him, obviously, as much as I should have. We definitely looked into him, studied all his tape, was just a freak. Could make any throw, had the ability to do anything. I thought it was a little bit different situation for us. We had the second pick in the draft. Did not feel like, from all the intel you get and stuff, that he was going to go that high.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan wasn't sure with Patrick Mahomes. New rule. We have a lot of information, but we don't really know who's going to change leagues. Giannis went 15th. Jimmy Butler, 30th. Kawhi Leonard's the best guy in the league right now to get a bucket and make a stop. 15th. The best backcourt in NBA history is Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. One guy went to Davidson. One guy went to Washington State. They didn't get the big offers. One went 7th in the draft, one went 11th. By the way, Tom Brady, 6th round, Russell Wilson, 3rd, Joe Montana, 3rd, Lamar Jackson, end of the 1st round, Aaron Rodgers and Dan Marino both plummeted in the 1st round. Kansas City, A, had no idea Mahomes was going to be this good, and B, Mahomes wouldn't be this good if he was in Cleveland. Because it'd be on his 3rd head coach, they'd have a crappy offensive line, and he'd be getting banged up. The schematics wouldn't be as good. He wouldn't have been able to sit for a year. They would have rushed him into playing, and he would have been overwhelmed and probably lost some of that confidence he has today. If Kyle Shanahan watched tape of Patrick Mahomes and was like, I could go either way on the guy, then we don't know. Not only Bill Belichick and the dynasty in New England has done virtually everything right for 20 years, except they're not always great on drafting. They're not even great on drafting in the 1st round or the 2nd. Some of their better players have gone in the 5th, 6th, 4th, undrafted. So you just don't know. Now, the good news about Mahomes, he appreciates the fact that it's an inexact science, and I love that he understands how lucky he is.
I think I ended up in the perfect place. To have Coach Reed and these coaches around me, to have Alex Smith in front of me for a year and be able to learn from him, and then obviously to have all the players that I have around me. I'm in a place where the team was already a winning team, a team that had a lot of success, and I came in, was able to just be who I am, be who I am, and ended up being able to win a lot of football games early in my career.
By the way, he gets compared to Steph Curry. Never forget 2012. The Warriors had Monte Ellis and Steph Curry. They called Milwaukee. The Warriors wanted Andrew Bogut. Which one do you want? Thank God they took Monte Ellis. Or Steph Curry could have ended up in Milwaukee and never play with Clay and never have Steve Kerr and never have Draymond Green and never attract Kevin Durant, and Mahomes could be in Cleveland. He's a highlight reel on his third coach, and Steph Curry could be on Milwaukee and never be part of the greatest dynasty in the last 15 years in the NBA. We just don't know. We think we do, and we have a lot of information. In my lifetime, there have been five guys since I've been a sportscaster, five that had to go number one. LeBron and Shaq, Bryce Harper in baseball, Andrew Luck, and Tiger Woods if golf had a draft. That's it. Those were the ones, there were no questions. And you could say, well, I mean, Bryce Harper has it. Bryce Harper's making, you know, $38 million a year. Bryce Harper is great. Shaq, LeBron, Tiger Woods, if golf have a draft, and Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck, for the record, won a lot of games, didn't even have the right GM, didn't have the right players, didn't have the roster, didn't have the coach. But it, even the physical freaks, Giannis, you don't know. You just don't know. All right, so I saw this morning. We have been very blessed in the last decade. It was the decade of the dynasties. UConn women's basketball, Alabama football, Golden State Warriors, New England Patriots. Did I say Alabama football? I think I did. They're all ending. Bama didn't make it to the playoff. UConn women haven't won a title in 4 years. New England looks kind of old. And Golden State imploded. Kevin Durant left. Lots of injuries as Steph and Clay and Draymond get a little older. You know, I was thinking about that as the news came down this morning that Dante Scarnecchia, the best offensive line coach probably in the history of the NFL, is retiring. And I think it's a really, really big deal. And Tom's getting old, and Dante's retiring, and Gronk retired, and now you've got young receivers coming in, and Tom is older and less patient. And I thought about this week with the passing of Kobe Bryant. We just have to appreciate the great ones. For 20 years, all we are hearing on New England has been criticism. But I watched Dana White take the UFC and turn it into a $4 billion brand. I just saw this morning Barstool Sports sold for $1 zillion. I watched Kobe Bryant. Oh, he shoots too much. He's hard to play with and coach. I watched the New England Patriots. The truth is, to be a dynasty, you have to shut out a lot of that noise. Because to be a dynasty and to be great, you're taking stuff from other people who think they want it as much as you. So you got to be sort of obsessed. You're taking shots. You're taking money. You're taking wins. You're taking players. You're taking coaches. I've always said this about the New England dynasty. I can't believe it lasted this long. Honestly, I cannot believe the dynasty lasted so long. So when you read these stories about Brady and Belichick, and it's getting sort of prickly, and Tom wants some money, and Bill doesn't hand out money to pretty much anybody, like, I get it. And I was thinking about that this morning. On a lighter side, I'm thinking, I would love to be a fly on the wall. And you know, as much as Bill loves Tom and Tom respects Bill, you know that this last contract conversation, you know it's uncomfortable.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
It was the first dynasty. I remember it clearly as a kid. Terry Bradshaw was the quarterback, Super Bowl winner in 74, 75, 78, 79, MVPs. And now, look at our set. Look at how it's grown. Terry Bradshaw is joining us. Your first Super Bowl was in 1974. Did you even get a police escort to the game back then?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure we did or not.
But I mean, it was pretty raw. It was a football game.
Right. It was, I remember going to the game in New Orleans, and after the game, showered and we got our clothes on and talked to the one or two beat writers, and that was it.
One or two beat writers?
Yeah, I think one or two people.
Up in, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette?
Probably, yeah. And then may have done one more, but I guarantee you, I bet my life on it, I didn't do more than three.
Okay, but I remember also the last one was in Los Angeles.
Right.
And that felt big. The game then was getting much more glam. I remember the catch back of the end zone to Swan, Vince Ferragamo. Now, that game, Terry, felt like a Super Bowl to me. As a kid, that was one of the first Super Bowls that felt big. Do you remember?
To you, not to us.
To
players, it was big. All of them were big. Here's the only thing that's gotten bigger is this. Money, of course, but this. The coverage. Look at the set. I mean, this is crazy.
Isn't it crazy?
Look at this. All this belongs to Fox. Fox set all this up?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Amazing.
How can they afford to pay us?
I don't know. But really, this is impressive. And I think in Super Bowl IX, my first Super Bowl, I went with Fran Tarkington, and we went in the New Orleans Saints offensive players room, which was probably 16 by 30. And took pictures. Me and Fran. Yeah. To some degree, I imagine the players today would say, "Boy, I wish it was like that now." Now you have with all the social media, and you can't do anything. And
would you have done okay with social media?
No.
You and no. Namath.
No, I would have not done well at all.
Why?
I wanted to be like Namath.
You did?
I wanted to be like Joe. I wanted to have the confidence to talk like that and know I'm going to back it up. I would have loved to have been able to do that. I wanted to do that. The first pair of white shoes I bought in Tampa in a preseason game were 10 and a half. They didn't have my size, 12. And I wore them just so I could be like Namath.
Really?
Oh, yeah, about killed my poor feet.
Why didn't you have the confidence? You were a number one pick.
I don't know. It just, you know, I'm one of those kids that's always I always felt like I was about 5 years behind everything. You know, coming over here today, and I don't understand anything they're saying in the back seat, and they're talking all social media stuff and music's playing. I don't know any of this stuff. I'm just I live in a protective world, I guess. I don't know. I just got a very, my focus is so much different than everybody's.
No, I get it. So I find it fascinating. You wanted to be Joe Namath, and so many kids grow up. I've told you this story. I'll tell this story one more time. So when I was a little kid, your team, Terry, I wanted to be quarterback. And so I got a football jersey, and I had a football. You know, you get a football at a local sporting goods store, right? They didn't have Dick's back then. Probably Bob's in my hometown.
Got it.
So I bought a football, and when Terry threw the football, he grabbed the top of the football. So I tried to throw it. So I tried to throw it like that. And I remember my dad saying, "I don't think you're Terry Bradshaw. I don't think you can throw it like that." He goes, "Why don't you just," because my hands were smaller, and so I, you know, I'm like a 9-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And then I played high school football, and I was quarterback. I was terrible. And I started.
I can believe that. I don't see any athletic ability here. Okay, no, this is where you were born, man. You're born to be on a mic.
But I remember throwing, you screwed up a lot of kids because you had this perfect, people forget this, Terry. You were drafted number one. None of your games were on television. In fact, when you were drafted number one, where were you when you got the call?
I was pulling out of the driveway to go fishing.
And who did Mel Kiper call you? Who called you?
Mel Kiper. I don't even think even Mel Kiper wasn't born. I was going fishing. My dad stopped me and said, "Well, you got to stay." I said, "Why am I?" He said, "I got a call from George Halas." And he said, "They're trying to make a trade to take you with the first pick." I thought I'd go like third or fourth round. And I went, "Bull, Dad, what's, you know?" And he said, "No." He said, "You can't go fishing." I was mad. I had to park, put my boat up. And then he made me go put on a shirt and a tie.
Oh, Lord.
I went, "Dad, are you kidding me?" I mean, I was furious. Yeah. But I did it. My dad said, "Do it." So I did it.
Where'd you get the artistic stuff? The singing, the music? Where'd you get all that stuff from?
All the singing?
Yeah. Where'd you get that from?
From my mother's family.
All right.
All of them are guitar church players, singers, all singers.
In the church in the South?
Probably mostly. One uncle made his guitars, beautiful voice. My other uncle had a gorgeous voice. He sold Wonder Bread. Just love to sing. My mother's got a really pretty voice. And my brother, my younger brother, Craig, sings like Pavarotti. Oh, he's amazing. And I told him, I said, you didn't listen to God when God spoke to you because you're supposed to be singing and not selling houses in Dallas. I mean, he's really that good. And here I am. I'm the one that's singing. Makes no sense. You know?
Well, we love you for it.
Yeah.
So you go into games like this. I want you to go back because the Terry Bradshaw I remember, big, strong, huge arm, over the top. You were all of it. But like Jimmy Garoppolo.
How come Joy doesn't get to talk?
Well, you know,
I mean, at the end, I got to listen to you.
Terry, I talk a lot. I like Colin get in his flow.
But I can make an argument. You were Jimmy Garoppolo. You had a big running game. You had
right.
a big defense.
Right.
And you won Super Bowls. And
right.
everybody's talking about Mean Joe Green.
Right.
And Franco Harris. You didn't. How much did you throw a game? Your teams were like San Francisco.
I think for my career, I had John Zarnecki. Look it up. I averaged 19 passes a game.
Isn't that incredible?
19. And I saw Jimmy after the game the other day. Before we presented the trophy, I said, how's that arm? You guys have baby down tonight? What do you throw? Threw eight passes. And I said, Jimmy, I won a Super Bowl throwing 11 passes. I threw 11, 23, 32, 30, I think, something like that. No more than that. And he said, you got to be kidding me. I think there was a certain part of Jimmy. And I'm going to interview him tomorrow. I love both these quarterbacks. My wife is here. She just loves Mahomes. Loves him. She's a Chiefs fan. Loves him. And both these kids are really good. But he was just shocked that we won. I think he felt like he's not doing his job. Because he's doing is handing off. And I found as a quarterback making – because I called my own plays – I had and was taught all this running game. You had to make the audibles to get to, you know, get the right play at the line of scrimmage. And I found that to be just as exciting, you know. And now at 71, you say, gosh, I wish I'd have thrown 40 a game now because we're not any good because our stats are so bad. I think Breeze has got 75,000 yards. I think I got 27,000. It's almost like take me out of the Hall of Fame. How'd I even get there? Even this one idiot down in Dallas says, I don't even know how. They ought to take him out. He don't even belong to me. And I ought to kick his ass. Little worm.
Well, I mean, just the world's changed. I mean,
it has.
In baseball.
For the better. For the better.
Yes. And
absolutely.
By the way, in baseball now, Terry, it used to be about starters going nine. Now it's all about the bullpen.
Yeah.
So relievers are going to have more innings and they're going to be.
Exactly. And I know nothing about baseball, but Joe Lertson to Joe Buck. And Joe will say, well, Vic, so-and-so's starting today. Boy, he's 21-2. If they can get five strong innings out of it, so they can't wait to get to the bullpen.
That's right.
Exactly.
So when you look at Mahomes, you were known as having a legendary arm. And I'm trying to think, a lot of your contemporaries didn't. Greasy didn't have a huge arm. Stabler didn't have a huge arm.
Oh, Stabler was amazing.
But he didn't have a huge arm.
Oh, Stabler. So amazing. I played against that guy, man. He was so amazing. Just scare you to death. He and Staubach were the two guys I never – Burt Jones was another one. You don't
loved
even –
him.
You remember Burt Jones?
And yesterday in the elevator, I ran into Lydell Mitchell. And
wow.
He goes, young man, I enjoy your show. I said, who are you? He goes, Lydell Mitchell. I said, number 26. You and Burt Jones were my second favorite team.
There you go.
Penn State.
Boy, could he sling that pill.
Burt was great.
Burt could sling it. I mean, like, talk about anybody in the NFL today and they'd have to get their second behind Burt Jones.
Yeah,
man, what an arm.
But so when you look at Mahomes, are there throws he makes you couldn't?
Now you really think a guy that's in the Hall of Fame is going to admit that there's a throw that this kid can make that I can't make?
Yeah.
Go look at my tape back in 62.
I watched you. You were good.
I could make those throws. I just never... I'd made some throws like that, but he does it every game. Mine would have been highlight reel.
And he's allowed to. He's got Andy Reid. You had Chuck Knoll, who was.
Let me make a point to our listeners. There's so much more pressure on a young quarterback like Garoppolo. If you look, he averaged like almost 290 yards a game in the regular season. Got into the playoff. I don't even think he's. I think it's 95 yards. It's something like that the last two games.
Yeah.
And, there's more pressure on him because he's not going to have an because he may not have the opportunity to throw 35 or 40 passes. So therefore, let's say they come out and they run 13, 14 times in a row, and then they're finally in a third and long and he misses it. What's Shanahan going to think? Oh, man, we got to run more? I mean, you see, it's a fine line, man. That guy's got to have that confidence to know that this is our game plan. This is how we've been winning. And this Chiefs team, while better now than they were after week 13, this is a pretty good defense, played pretty good. And now you got to say, this kid can chunk it. You know, but when you're only throwing a handful, there's more pressure on that guy that's going to throw 8 than that guy that's going to throw 38.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Terry Bradshaw, 4 Super Bowl rings.
That's a good point, isn't it?
Very good.
You can use that
Okay,
good.
Later. So, Pittsburgh girl, by the way. Joy Taylor's a Pittsburgh girl.
Serious?
Yeah. Jason Born Taylor, Hall of Famers. Her brother, you know that, right?
Wow, no.
You didn't know that?
No.
Her brother's Jason Taylor.
No,
Hall
I know
of
who
Famer, Jay, good-looking
I,
guy.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah.
But she didn't look like Jason Taylor.
I have more hair than Jason does.
Yeah.
By the way.
So good of you to let her talk. I appreciate
the show, I do the interviews, and I fly.
Oh, you do the interviews?
Most of them.
I never watched the show, so I don't know how
you
this
should.
Works.
It's very, very good.
Look at everybody laughing over there.
Now, you're an entertainer, but you're actually, behind the scenes, you're very serious. And I asked you one time, I said, you know, you were probably a partier before big games. And you're like,
please.
You were kind of straight-laced.
Very straight. My dad scared the hell out of me. He did. He told me when I got drafted, he sat me down. I'll never forget it. We went through you're leaving home and you're going to a strange town. And he's trying to explain to me how it's going to be. And he said, don't forget that you have my name. And don't embarrass the family name. You get up there, you do your job, and then when your career is over with, you know, you take that experience and you move on through your life. But he was real proud of the Bradshaw name, and I never forgot that. I very seldom. I remember one time. I'll say this: Joe Green called me, and we were on our way to San Diego to play, and he said, "Meet me at the hotel. We'll have a beer before we go to the airport." So I said, all right. So I go to have a beer with Joe, go to San Diego. I play bad. We lose. Paper. Bradshaw's seen in a bar before the game. And that was just a really good lesson, just a simple, innocent little beer. And can you imagine today? Can you imagine, especially me, you know, as a friend of mine, Dave Stewart. Oh, by the way, if you ever get down to Sarasota, Florida, and want a free meal, go to Captain Kirk's. Ask for Dave, and he owns the joint, and tell him Terry Bradshaw will send you. Food's free. Serious. That's the key. Bradshaw sent you. Dave Stewart says, I got feelings. I used to say, that's a great line. I have feelings, and I think I'm too sensitive. I worry too much about what people say, and so it would be hard for me. It would be, not now, because it doesn't bother me now. I'm used to it, but it would have been hard for me coming out of Louisiana Tech and, well, a great school. It's not like we're, you know, in the Southeast Conference playing Alabama and Florida every week, so, or LSU. So it was a learning curve that I'm not one that really likes to grow up. I kind of like to stay a little boy. It's fun. I married a really smart gal that takes care of me, thank God, you know, so. But, yeah, I'm pretty serious about a lot of things. Yeah. But for the most part, I wake up making folks laugh, which makes me feel good.
I love seeing you. I love you coming by the show. I really do. I really enjoy it.
Did
you enjoy that, Joy?
I don't have the earpiece in. I can't hear what you're saying.
You know what? Better that way.
Oh, was it?
When you can't hear me, I'm way better.
Well, that's what I heard.
Thank you for coming by.
Oh, that's it? I drove an hour and 45 minutes in this traffic, and this is all I get. Can I at least say that I'll be at the Luxor starting in March for the whole year? So come to Vegas. Come see the show.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
All right. And with that, it's time for, we do it about once, twice a year, another edition, a Super Bowl edition of Two Truths and a Lie. Joy will give me all Super Bowl related, two truths and a lie. You're going to give me three things. One of them about these Super Bowl participants is not true, and I have no idea which one it is. Here we go.
Okay, let's start with Patrick Mahomes, quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. Jersey number is his college number and his draft pick. His godfather is LaTroy Hawkins, or he was nicknamed Kermit by his teammates because of his voice. Which one of those is a lie?
The obvious one would be Kermit, so I'll just go with that one to start.
That is a lie, yes.
All right, I got that one right. That was an easy one. You're easing me into this. Yeah, he was not called Kermit in college.
No. All right, Jimmy Garoppolo. He started as a running back, starred in local commercials as a child, played soccer in high school. Which one of those is a lie?
Played soccer in high school.
Wrong. He starred in local commercials as a child was a lie.
I thought that was the most true. That seemed obvious.
The handsomeness confused you.
Yeah, that was the easy one, I thought.
No, he played soccer in high school. All right, Travis Kelce. He starred in a reality show looking for love. He lettered for 3 years as a quarterback in high school. He was runner-up on Dancing with the Stars. Which one is a lie?
I know he was on TV for something.
Well, two of those are TV options.
I don't think he starred in a reality show looking for love.
Incorrect. He was not a runner-up for Dancing with the Stars. He was on a reality show looking for love.
What was the show called?
It was called Chasing Kelce. Was that what it was called? Chasing Kelce.
All
yes.
Right. I got to watch more TV. Chasing I just watch sports and politics. I'm sorry about that.
George Kittle. His favorite restaurant is Panda Express. He knows every Rihanna song by heart. Or he almost left football to pursue professional wrestling. Which one is a lie?
He knows every Rihanna song by heart. That's false.
No. He does know every Rihanna song by heart. He did not almost leave football to pursue professional wrestling, although I do think he could be an excellent professional
wrestler.
All right,
wrestler. So far, two more left. Fan. I'm not doing well. Okay, two truths and a lie.
Love, big Rihanna fan. All right, Andy Reid spent his summers working as a vendor at Dodger Stadium.
He is from Los Angeles.
His Tara Reid, the actress, is his niece.
Really?
He sold his Eagles gear at a yard sale after taking the Chiefs job. Which one of those is a lie?
The third one. Sold his Eagle gear at a yard sale.
Nope. Nope. You're not doing well at this game. Tara Reid is not his niece.
Okay.
He did, in fact, sell his Eagles gear at a yard sale after taking a Chiefs job. What an interesting yard sale that must have been.
No kidding.
At the Reid home.
Don't drive by that yard sale. You don't know if it's Andy Reid selling gear.
All right. Finally, Richard Sherman. He has a pet lion. He cries every time he watches the Titanic. Or he once showed up to rookie practice on a jet ski. Which one of those is a lie?
There's no way he has a pet lion.
Correct. He does not. I don't think it is legal to own a pet lion. Although I'm sure people have tried. He does not own a pet lion. But he does cry every time he watches Titanic.
I understand that.
I cry every time I watch Armageddon. So sad.
Really?
Yes.
That's not a sad movie.
It's so sad. He saves the world and he loses his daughter and, you know, the song, the Aerosmith song.
It's weird about movies because I think...
Stay awake. I have no voice. I'm singing like...
If I said to you, Mrs. Doubtfire, drama or comedy?
Comedy.
Okay. Remember I used to make the argument, greatest comedy ever made was Mrs. Doubtfire.
The greatest comedy ever made.
It's literally as funny at the end as it is at the beginning. Mrs. Doubtfire.
Strong. I don't know.
Some people think it's a drama. I'm like, what?
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So I saw a story that came over yesterday, and it said Chiefs owner Clark Hunt says Patrick Mahomes' extension is probably a year away. And, you know, I often take advice from older people and smarter people than me. And Jerry Jones has one of my favorite quotes of all time. And Jerry Jones talked about this, and he said, I've only in my life of doing business ever regretted it when I went cheap on stuff. If something's great, spend the money. Russell Wilson, spend the money. Carson Wentz, spend the money. Patrick Mahomes, spend the money. Three things in the world I'll never go cheap on. transportation, toilet paper, and quarterbacks. If they're, you never want to be in a bathroom and go, wow, nobody's winning here. Don't go cheap on toilet paper. Don't ever, you know, you go and you go on a nice vacation. You've gone on a vacation. You go to Hawaii and you're like, it would have cost $27 more a night to get a partial view of the water. You're in Hawaii. You don't want to look at a parking garage. You want to look at the water with your beautiful wife or girlfriend or whatever. So transportation, toilet paper, and quarterbacks, just pay the money. There are things I'd save money on. I'm not going to spend a lot of money for vodka. I mean, they're just trying to distill the taste out of it. It's potatoes. Yeah, there's no real taste. Don't listen to anybody. Grey Goose costs more than Kettle One because it comes in a frosted bottle. That's it. And I like vodka. Advil. It's aspirin. What do I care? I've got a headache. Pop them in. I'm fine. Bottled water. Again, really? Comes from Switzerland. Comes from the local pond. It really doesn't matter. It's water. I'm healthier drinking it. I'm not saving a dollar on quarterbacks. By the way, running backs, you can save money on. I'll give you an example. Here are the running backs in Sunday's Super Bowl. These are the running backs. Matt Breida, Tevin Coleman, Raheem Mostert, and Kyle Juszczyk. Damian Williams and Darvin Thompson. You can save a little money on running backs. Saquon Barkley didn't make the playoffs. Zeke didn't make the playoffs. Adrian Peterson, most of his career, didn't make the playoffs. There's a lot of ways to save money in the NFL with a salary cap. I would always love three running backs over one star running back. But in terms of quarterback, just spend the money. It hurts initially, but like Jerry Jones says, it's like real estate. It's like anything else. It hurts initially, but you look back and you're like, it's great. Pay for great. Certain things you got to pay for. Vodka, just go buy Kettle One. It's the same as Grey Goose. Just doesn't have as cool a bottle.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So Frank Caliendo's got a podcast, the Caliendo Cast, wherever podcasts are sold. We're live in Miami Beach. Frank Caliendo is joining us, comedian and impressionist, worked at Fox NFL Sunday forever. Okay, so I'm looking. I went on YouTube the other day, and I went and looked at your first appearance on Letterman.
Really?
And you crushed. The audience loved it. But he heckled you.
Yeah, well, I go on, I start doing the John Madden. I say, I love football, but what I really love is John Madden. I hear from the desk, yeah! I was like, what the? Like, I didn't even know what was going on. So Letterman doesn't talk during people's sets. I'm talking like, here's a guy, blah, 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 blah. And Letterman's going, more. I'm like, all right. So it was just a surreal.
You. Yeah. Did he not like impersonators?
No, he wanted me on. So it was like heckling you think of as completely negative. Heckling is just when somebody's saying something when you're talking as well as a comedian.
Well,
so.
I would say your first big voice was Madden. And I do think Madden, not that he's easy to impersonate, but he's like Keith Jackson or Vin Scully. There is a sound. Tony Romo is red hot, and I don't have an idea how you – so what do you – you have a Tony Romo.
Well, I've started to work on the take. The take is the interesting thing to find, and he's raspy. And he's always – when he gets excited and he thinks something's going to happen, this is where it goes. Here we go, Jim. So he'll be like, oh, this is incredible. This is amazing and incredible and incredibly amazing. I can't believe everything that's about to happen, and you're just about to see it, Jim, and here it is. Here we go. He would be the worst person to go to see a movie with, right? You go to see the movie, he's like, oh, the girl, look at the way they're focusing on her. She's going to get switched. And at the end, you're going to find out they've been living separate lives. And here we go, Jim.
I'll come back to Tony Romo in a second. You, there are people that like the impersonations. Madden was a little, I think Madden was a little.
It was weird. When they don't meet you, that's the odd thing. I was at a Super Bowl, actually, for Fox when I met John Madden and made his grandkids laugh. And it was like a light bulb went on over his head. Like, I get it now.
Now, what about presidents?
Here's actually an interesting story. So when I was at Fox, I did a couple of different Super Bowls. One of the Super Bowls that I did was in Dallas, Super Bowl 45.
When George Bush was president?
George Bush was there. I don't know if he was president still. It might have been, but he was there, and John Madden was there, and they were sitting next to each other, and close to each other, and Jerry Jones was in between them. So I got up, I got past the Secret Service. They were going to allow me, Fox had cameras ready, and I'm texting with producers and stuff. I'm in, this is going to be great. And they wouldn't let me talk until Jerry Jones stopped talking to them. Well, he never stopped talking. So it was one of those, like, what's he talking about? Like, I believe that you have every idea of what's going to happen here. I'll tell you what, man, it's pretty good. I don't know what we're talking about. So it's like, so I'm just waiting. And then Laura Bush comes out, And it's funny because Jamie Foxx is sitting in the back of Jerry Jones' suite. He's got sunglasses on. I don't understand why, because it's in Dallas inside. It didn't make sense at all. But he's a star, so I guess you can't. But it was one of those types of situations. I said hello to him. He was very nice. But Laura Bush comes over and says, oh, the president and I were watching you this morning. You were very funny. Like, well, can you tell him to tell Jerry Jones to stop talking? I want to get in there and get some big-time publicity.
So Jerry is, I've met Jerry one time. He's a bigger-than-life guy.
Yeah, he's. When I tried to meet him years ago, he just turned away. Like, it was at an event, and he's like, ah, hey. It was like a sitcom. Remember when Seinfeld didn't have time for Newman? He's like, oh, I've got something better to do. That kind of thing. That was Jerry Jones. I went up to, hi, Mr. Jones. I'm Frank. Okay, I'm going to talk to this guy and tell the same story I just told. Like, what the heck? What is going on here?
By the way, Jay Glazer got you kicked out of a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're hearing all the stories, aren't you?
Yeah.
My first Super Bowl with Fox, you get those credentials where you can go anywhere. You can go on the field. You can go.
Yeah, I've never had one, but go ahead.
I'll tell you what it's like to be in the big with the big star on the door. So they said, you can go anywhere. I go, can I go on the field? They're like, yeah. I go, can I kick the ball? They're like, kick the ball if you want.
Wow.
So I'm down there, and Jay Glazer was the one who gets me to go down. He's like, Frank, you got to go down there. It's incredible. It's amazing. You listen to the national anthem. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever heard. It's so incredible. And then the planes fly over. Greatest thing I've ever heard in my entire life, right? So I go down there. The planes fly over. A guy from NFL security is like, what are you down here for? I'm like, I got to be honest. I'm just here with him. He's like, but what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. He goes, you got to get out of here. I go, but I have this credential that says I can kick the ball. He's like, takes it off of me and kicks me not just out of the field, kicks me out of the stadium. So I'm kicked out in Jacksonville. I'm outside. I don't know. I sneak past a security guard who's hitting on some girl. And then I get back and I'm like, I talked to David Hill, who was president of the network at the time. I'm like, I don't know what just happened. You know, I'm not a troublemaker or anything. He goes, don't worry, I'll take care of it. So I get my credential back. And I'm like, Terry, talking to Bradshaw, I'm like, I just got kicked out of the Super Bowl. He's like, well, my plan worked. We got rid of you for a while. Let me tell you, he was in here earlier. How did that go?
Oh, he's great.
Any sequiturs or was it just nonsense?
No,
let me tell you about my grandpa. How do my shoes look? Hey, up is this way. Every time, like, what you're talking to him is like the herd with Colin Cowherd.
Calls me Cowhead.
Cowhead. That's what it's, but it says herd up there. Come on, I've just proven I can read, Cowhead.
Okay.
Cowberg, I remember you. I used to play for you. I love that you're trying to talk over me.
John Gruden is going to Vegas. That you perform in Vegas. How do you think John's going to be in Vegas?
I'll tell you what, man. Get some of those. I'd like to see him just bringing other teams around Vegas before the game. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Like, I'll tell you what, man. You should play some of these table games right before we start the game. How about that, man? We lose a couple guys that way, man. It's going to be pretty good.
It is. So I want to go back. So I did something earlier today. I don't do impressions, but we have this new technology where it's creepy, where I can talk my way through stuff, and I can look like Belichick. We don't have it on our monitor here. Our monitor's changed up. I'm looking at Kyle Shanahan. But we have these things where I can look like Shanahan or Belichick and Brady. So I ran this earlier. Let's run this from earlier in the show, please. You're looking at Patrick Mahomes. You're looking at Russell Wilson. You're looking at Lamar Jackson. The game has changed. You're looking a little bit, you know, more like a Philip Rivers or an Eli Manning. Andy Dalton.
He's going to become Bill Belichick, but he's talking too loud. Jim, here we go, Jim.
Now watch this. Then I become Brady.
Andy Dalton. Is that what you're saying?
I can't handle it.
Listen, if I could be Tom Brady, I would just do it all the time. It would never stop.
So can you do a Jim Nantz and a Tony Romo?
I've been working on the Nantz. My Nantz is a hello, friends. That's all I've
got. Yeah, that's about what he does.
Yeah.
He's very good.
John Holmberg, who's on the podcast with me, all he does is throw to people when he does Jim Nantz. And let's go down to, like, that's what it always is. And then they come back to him.
Jimmy, Frank Caliendo. So I want to talk briefly. We have about a minute and a half left. So you do a lot of sports stuff. That's my gateway into knowing you.
Yeah.
Frank, I didn't know. I see on Letterman. I see the Madden stuff. I see on Fox. But you also, I would imagine audiences probably crave Hollywood people even more. I think to the
average. Oh, yeah. Overall, if you want to, I think, succeed, you have to have a broader base, that type of thing. So it's if you stick to just the sports impressions, I think.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to do one.
Okay.
Okay. So I just watched the movie. I liked it way more than my wife. Have you seen The Irishman?
No, I don't have 15 hours to watch it.
Okay, so I loved it. I love Scorsese. Martin's great. And I think they do this, by the way. The reason I showed that Belichick-Brady thing, they changed De Niro's face and Pacino's face.
Oh, right, yeah.
They look like kids.
Yeah, but they're like 55 years old, you know, 70 years old. He's kicking a guy. But his face is 50 or 30, you know, 30, but
his
body is 75.
Can you give me a little De Niro?
How about Pacino going into De Niro like, I heard you like Super Bowls. Like, let me try it full light. Don't really have to do this. I heard you like Super Bowls. I do. Yes. Yes, I do. But I also like pregame shows. Huh? That's a promo. Did you see what I did there? Huh? Huh? Always working it.
Frank Caliendo, the Caliendo cast. It's wherever you get podcasts. iTunes.
Yeah, and you can find me at Frank Caliendo on Twitter, Instagram. And if you can't spell Caliendo, it's the letter C, the word alien, and the word do. At Frank C. Alien.